Well, I just want to say to you that it would be useful if you did a check of the number of attorneys who have actually been taken before the courts on matters in recent years. I think it is safe to say that we are seeing more of that now than at any stage before. There was a time when people complained that things were going wrong and they saw no evidence that the perpetrators were being brought to justice. That is changing. And it may well be a consequence of the fact that we have far more lawyers now in practice. Mm-hmm. It may also be an indication that the society has become far more intolerant of such behavior and that people are prepared to go the distance in trying to deal with such matters, especially the people who come from abroad and Barbadians who live abroad, many of whom still cannot see justice getting the light of day because, for whatever reason, their absence from the country creates an environment in which people can basically do so much damage and get away with it. It is throwing up a real problem that needs to be addressed. I agree with you. The specific mechanism, I cannot say that, you know, what you have advanced is something that will or will not work. How it will work, I don't know. But I think the Bar Association and the government of Barbados, the people of Barbados, have to take this one far more seriously. And, you know, what is amazing is that in some respects, we came up believing that once you put women into certain institutions and professions and stuff, that they would make a positive difference in this regard. You have noticed that that doesn't really matter. Male and female, the culture is the same. And therefore, more really needs to be done. These cases really, really, really make the legal profession, they put it on the defensive in Barbados. When you add to that the big concerns that people are raising too with respect to the time it takes to get things done in the legal system and all of that, it's very disheartening. You've got a problem, average person who has a legal issue, and you tell them go and see a lawyer, wow, they don't know where to turn because they see almost all the lawyers in the same vein. They don't know who to trust. And this is very, very sad.
No, Mr. Allen. Mm. If you're looking to purchase a car, there's something called a VFI you have to get done, right? Where they can check the financial information and the history of the car and everything. And as I tell you, there's the credit check also. They can check your credit ratings and so on. So this isn't a rocket science. I mean, I find that there should already be some bureau that you can call or log on to their website and do the search. But there isn't, because I checked myself. I checked the directories. I called the Bar Association and so on, and there's nothing. You can't do anything other than go to the police or same Bar Association and make a complaint, and that's it. You don't have any. So to avoid having to do all of that, if you could know the reputation of an attorney or so before you employ them or put your money in their hands, it would help the whole situation.
Because it's difficult to switch. People have reported to call on this program and talk about being dissatisfied with the kind of representation that they have had from one attorney or the other. They try to switch, and it's difficult for them, you know.
Very, very terrible. So I hope I can look forward to hearing a program with regards to the legal fraternity. Maybe a Sunday. I think it would do the public some good, you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Hello? So this person says the supermarkets are under lots of pressure, restaurants are closed or partially closed, hotels are barely open, so this also exerts some pressure on the supermarkets. This is down to brass tacks. This is down to brass tacks. Now, I took a look here at this in George North constituency, and you can see this constituency was created in 1971. In 71, it was won by the Democratic Labour Party, Ear Hopping. In 76, it was Jack Odell. In 81, it was Jack Odell. Back in 86, it was Cyril Walker, who won again in 1991. But since 1994, Glenn Clark has dominated this seat and has strengthened the hold that the Barbados Labour Party has held on it over the years. So I'm looking here for the 2018 result. Look back. I'll find that. If I do, I will share that with you. But I have down to what I have before me is down to 2013 at the moment from this particular result set of results here. And in 1994, it was 56.24% of the vote. In 1999. 79.45% going to the BLP. In 2003, it was 60.07. 2008, 69.58. 2013, 59.47. That makes it an interesting contest, because you can't say that it's essentially remained in the hands of the BLP all the time. There's no, how much of this revolves around the candidate, how much of it revolves around the party, is also something that we could be discussing as we move into that period where you have 90 days called the by-election before, after October 1st. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I am well, and you?
I'm good, man. I realize your tolerance level today is very high. And
It depends upon who calls me.
I'm waiting now to see if it's going to be high with me. This is gentleman that is talk on agriculture.
Yes.
Right. Today I'm going to shift a bit. That guy that mentioned about NASA having 6 cars, he should be in prison now for 6 years. That is a blatant lie. If you don't like NASA, I could understand. If NASA does talk a lot of black politics, I could understand. But at the same time, he got his tax right when he want to talk about NASA. No other man, black, white, or green, never export as much as Gary Husband, who is now NASA. I don't care what happened. I don't see it ever happening that anybody but have an impact on industry is Gary Husband. All right? Next thing, one of the things happened during that era is a lot of us as black people was given a lot of false information about the man. I was one of the participants. I remember hearing this thing and he playing it big and the next and he get really unfair. And this is a part that I know about the same man. When Development Bank decided they're going to cave in on NASA, who had owned 52% of the shares, after having a loan, their input, the bank input was, Development Bank input was 48%. And when they want to make a move, NASA still had to give his consent as the main shareholder. He went and opened a company called UNI and was doing a lot of furniture and other stuff down at UNI. Nasser at one point had an order for Denmark. Here is talking in Europe, in Denmark. Nobody in Barbados never export sugar even to Denmark. The man is a genius, and he will remain a genius. And I hope one of these days, don't mind, I think he won't take it. I feel he won't take it. He should be made a knight. That's all I would say to you. Thanks for tolerating me.
Well, I want to say that in as it relates to Mohamed Nasser, he was at one stage, he carried the name Gary Husbands, and his wrought iron manufacturing company was a significant national player. And my recollection, I was a child at the time when this company was really booming, it is that many people looked at his company as a big success story. I haven't seen it. I don't know if anybody has ever really done it, but it would be interesting to have some kind of examination of what went wrong with this particular company. My recollection is that it ran into some financial difficulty, and then Barbados Development Bank took it over. At the time, it was under the Labour Party, under the Tom Adams administration, that it happened. And the then chairman of the Barbados Development Bank was Sir David Seal.
Oh, you remember that?
Oh, I do remember these things, yes.
Yes.
But I know that Mohamed Nasser, first of all, the company went into receivership. But it is not peculiar that companies that go into receivership don't come back out. Because the big thing that happens around here is that the amount of fees that end
you
up going
to... You know more than you say, you know, David.
the
you
company,
know more than you say.
Companies
you
that go into know, receivership...
I know you know more than you say.
...have a lot... they pay a lot of money to the receivers and stuff. And there has been this argument in... among various people about the concept of receivership and what it does. But beyond that, we have not had, I cannot recall anybody pointing to a case study on what would have happened to that company. And perhaps it is still valid, it's still relevant. We still have major main players who were involved alive today. But this, as we talk about the structure of the business in Barbados and that sort of thing. That particular experience there, in my judgment, it should be required reading as to what went wrong in that instance, in that case. Was it just about the management of the company? Was it poor management? Was it racism in the country? Was it the role
Very
of the
much, sir.
Development
Very
bank?
Much.
You know, and... These things cannot, you can't sweep them under the carpet. Was it the fact that Gary Husbands became Mohamed Nasser?
Let me again another little piece. The receiver, listen good to these words, the receiver, the man the bank put there on the ground. He's dead now. I won't call his name.
Please
don't. I'm talking with facts. That particular guy made so much money out of there. You see, it was such a good business. Yeah? Let me rephrase that, and I have no...
Well, for all of these reasons, though,
right.
I would prefer... Even, I mean, I don't want this to be a program where Mr. Nasser believes he must now come and tell us all that happened in the company.
Nasser ain't going to do that.
Because that's not... That's not what we require. All I'm saying to you is that for these reasons, it is important for us to have a better understanding of what went right and what went wrong. Because this
nothing
is
nothing went wrong.
How mean nothing
thing
went
wrong?
Wrong
is that he shouldn't be out of business.
I mean, nothing went wrong.
Right.
Come on, the very fact they out of business, the very fact they had to end up in receivership said something went wrong.
No, man.
I am not saying who
let
did.
Let me say this.
I am not implying who did the wrong. or who went wrong. I'm saying that right. Something went wrong.
Let me say this part to you, and I'm going to be very brief and straight to the point. Anytime this man that's talking to you on the phone, come to David Ellis, your development bank, come to David Ellis and say, look, I have a project for Denmark. It is about $7 million. I want to borrow two from you. And you decide, well, look, in order for you to get this $2 million, you have to allow us to own 48% of the shares. I excited and I accept that. Then along the way, certain things get tight around my neck. And you decide, well, look, I can call in the receivers.
Hmm. Well, you know.
Any way that I could run?
Look, we have had.
The receivers then got to do what they want to do.
We have had.
I say it unfair me, and I decide
look,
to do what we want.
I am dealing with this in general terms, and I want to say to you that since then, we have had Julien, another example of growth and expansion, and then you saw what happened there. COVID has the potential to create at least one other scenario similar to that. It has that potential. And it is important for people who are, all this talk about business studies, studying finance, we got all of these specialists in these areas, these accountants, all of these people here in this country, we are very good at saying who should be blocked from coming to Barbados to work because we have the skills. But if we have these skills, we need to be able to understand how these companies fail. What causes this? Is this failure on the part of the people who go after it because they're too ambitious? Do they want to expand too fast? Some people say that. Or are they victims of a structure?
They're victims of a structure.
We will talk about this some more. Thank you
very
much.
Thanks for tolerating.
Down to brass tacks. Hello? I want to hear all these people who took the children to school today, nobody has anything to report? It was plain sailing? Is it that all of this thing was being blown out of proportion by the unions and by other people? What went on today? I must tell you, it was nice to see the children going to school today after such a long time off the streets and that sort of thing. And so many of them with their masks. But share with us, what was it like today? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I am well. And you?
You have any children or grandchildren in school, too?
I have a step-grand who went into primary school today.
But you can get your first-hand information when you get to it.
But you listen to me. I am not asking for no first-hand information for myself. I am asking for people to share with the public of Barbados. You seem to misunderstand how I see my role.
I got some to share with the public here. I wanted, for some time I was trying to look at roadworks with you, and then I would like to look at COVID for a second or third time with you. Now, the roadworks that was just done on Rendezvous, the hill, and then the top by the Gary Sobers roundabout to put in a second lane there, which was a very good project that was long overdue. We was waiting on it for a long time. But what you wanted to say at the time, that to me it was too long and drawn out for something that was so important, right? And I show you what I mean when I say long and drawn out. You could remember we had a discussion in this country about taking out a baobab tree in Warren's Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Then we took it out. Then we block off the road on Friday evening, cut it out, excavate it, compact it, put in a 10-foot by 10-foot culvert to finished compacting it, David had it open by the Monday morning. And that was a little project compared to that. That could have been done and ready and going. Anyhow, the former Minister of Transport, that was his constituency, and he did that for himself. When he came in, Flagstaff was doing, and then he went on to do that. This is very good. I want to say something here, though, on the current Minister of Transport, Spooner's Hill. Since down in the 70s, going on to the 80s, they had started to widen the road from Barbie's Hill. It was supposed to go right up to Warren's. And Spooner's Hill is the only piece that left back. And it is a great threat to life and limb. It is a connection to Warren's. And you're getting a 40-foot trailers up and down through there, the buses, everything. So I would like him now to pay attention to that for himself, starting from about accommodation up to Bushall Yard Gap. If he could get down to Promenade and Grisette Road right up, that's even so much the better. And I would suggest that the section between Bushall Yard Gap and Oceanville Road, that you should get that area as a layby, whereby even the Bushall vans could come and transfer the people there and go back up Oceanville.
Okay, sir.
Anyhow, no, that's only one piece.
You ain't got much time, I can tell
you. But
you know
that would be the problem all the time, you know, Mr.
Ellis.
I can still start and pay for my time, you know.
Don't quarrel.
Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, coming out, because you know that I've said from the beginning, paying four times the road tax, we should get nylon roads. Now, coming out from Upton, you just come, maybe pick up the highway coming down from the Plain Industrial Estate and the Polytechnic to BET. They got two lanes there and got them in a gooseneck. Now, that won't take you out. And this is my suggestion. Mark off the lane coming out from Upton with Jersey Buyers, and then you get the two lanes coming down, and you will get rid of the gooseneck.
Okay.
Also, last time I spoke to you...
We got to go, though. Thank you very much. I got to leave you on this one because we don't have enough time to expand on the other one. This person says to me that they were listening to the caller about malpractice in the legal profession, and he felt that the person was greatly misrepresenting the facts. But a question should be raised about the compensation fund, which is intended to deal with such acts. This person says a number of lawyers have been questioning about this fund, to which contributions have been made for years. So the Bar Association or whoever else is administering this fund should perhaps tell us what's happening with it. This person says, my two daughters, 8 and 16, went back to school and it was markers on the ground, 2 feet, 6 inches apart as temperature checks and sanitizing units were in place. No parents allowed beyond the gate. They had a little view of the class table, which they saw as being a bit apart. And this person says, I'm pleased so far with what I've seen. Somebody else said they took their child today and they had these temperature checks on the outside. People weren't allowed to go in. And they felt that the whole process went smoothly, quickly is what they said. So the person says, I am understanding that one school in St. Philip was asked to remove all of their desks and equipment from one of the nearby churches yesterday after agreeing to allow the school to use the church facilities to accommodate two of the senior classes. And all of this had to be done yesterday, according to what this person is saying. There's also a comment here, I took my grandson in this morning and it was smooth sailing, no problem. The process was well outlined and explained last week and was perfectly executed this morning. Well done, Sharon Primary, says this writer. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Oh, wonderful. Three quick things. The electric buses, as it relates to the people visually impaired. Anything, when one travels all over the world, you don't have to put out your hand to stop anything. A bus mark, the bus stops are identified nowadays to the city. I think if a bus is going to the city and see somebody at the bus stop, the bus should just stop and see if the body wants to catch that bus and go down to the city. I don't think you should put out your hands. Just, it don't take too much off anybody to stop the bus or for some noise to be put on the bus to let you know it's coming. That's one. Two, I heard a release sometime on BBC saying that this the injection is related to COVID and that immunization. That the whole question of obese people, there's a concern for that injection or vaccination as it relates to obese people, and that is some concern that the scientists or the doctors in the UK had. I heard on the BBC sometime last night. So I'm wondering whether or not there will be some other, in terms of how they administer those injections, if ever they come about, or whether or not they're looking at the various publics in the arena of health, the people, the NCDs and those kind of things, and the young people. The other one I would like to touch upon too, Mr. Ellis, is that I heard a release some time ago talking about 70% of the people in prison under the age of 30. That is a statistic that one would not like to hear too much of. And I think that's something I heard the minister relating to youth say that we're working close to the police to make sure that that those kind of things are dealt with. And the final comment I'd like to make, I know your time is running away and I can't elucidate on these things. You hear about the murders, you hear about the crime, but you don't get the crime statistics coming from the Royal Barbados Police Force. I think when you hear about the murders, one would love to hear, if you had 10 murders, that 8.5 are solved. And these kind of statistics need to come out. So the people in the populations arm of the Barbados, of the Royal Barbados Police Force, Royal might soon be removed from it, you never know. But one need to know, John and Jane Public need to know what, we know the police are doing a good effort, but we still need to know what are the spate that of murders that have been solved or that are close to being, well, have been solved is better. So those are kind of things I would like to get a response on. I cannot elucidate any further because I know it's just a few minutes before 2 o'clock. So that's my concern. Those are my concerns right now. But the whole question of those people who are physically charged and the disabled section, which you touched on this morning, okay. I think that's very, very important. I'll probably come back and talk a little bit more about that in due course.
Thank you very much. This question of the lawyers are complaining here about this compensation fund. They say that they are mandated to pay this fund or else they won't be allowed to get their practicing certificate. However, few of us know how it is disbursed. It is paid to the registration department when we pay our yearly dues. Both are paid to the cashier at the registry. So this is a question most likely for the government to answer. Where does this money go? How much money is in this fund? And how is it that we don't hear anything about compensation for the many people who feel that they have been wronged by the behavior of lawyers? We'll take another call. This is the last call we are likely to take today. Hello?
Well, I'm going to Brent Rear. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. I have to speed talk because I have only a couple of minutes. All right. I want to thank the guy that called about having the program and embracing my call for some time. I've been asking you to one day, a week, a month, or whatever, to let persons in the community come and speak about the problems they're having with lawyers and judgment written with judges, etc. You know a fella, he's been waiting now over 5 years for a judgment, and he has a property adjacent to his house that he wants to get settled, he can pay and offset a problem, so you can't get judgment written. And that's been a complaint for eons and lawyers. And one Sunday, Mr. Corey Lynn was on, and a lady called, I think she said she's a lawyer, and Corey was inviting her to come because she wanted to refute some comments made. I wish I could get that lady come on the air And I'm glad that that gentleman has asked you to get on their program and let the people call and say what
to do
the
what?
Problem.
To people
to
sit say
the
problems
they're having with lawyers, can't get the business settled.
Well, man, look, let me say something to you. You don't really advance that as a serious approach, because to begin with, mm-hmm. I can sit down here and hear a complaint from someone. Mm-hmm. But then if you investigate it, you uh-huh. see that there's a lot more to this complaint than meets the eye. Sometimes the person who is complaining is leaving out critical facts.
You know?
Sometimes there's another side to the story. To just take on a program and say,
we had a lawyer on
give me your grouse. Even when we had a lawyer on call.
Mm-hmm. You hear the complaints of people.
Man, Raul, will you just let me put this in perspective?
Even
when we had a lawyer listening to those things, many of them could not be addressed on the air.
Yeah, I understand that too, but it does not say and negate that there are problems in the judiciary and the justice system.
I'm not denying that, but the approach you are recommending, Raul, is not a feasible approach in light of the fact that these things need to be balanced. You need to get the facts. You can get misrepresentation. You can get lies. All of that can happen.
I agree. I'm not going to dispute that. But you can get truth too.
Boy, but sometimes you get more lies than you can get truth.
I don't know. You care yourself, man.
It sounds good, but let me tell you, you got to be very careful with those things. All right. Thank you all. That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to John Stout, back from holiday with a haircut too. I hope you can see it. At least imagine it, this radio. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.